This is episode 210, Why Priority Labels Don't Work.
Welcome to the Paul Miners Podcast, the show that will help you to optimize your time, income, and lifestyle fast. Get more done with actionable, easy-to-follow advice and learn how to live life on your terms. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Paul Miners Podcast, episode number 210. As always, it is a pleasure to have you listening today. I know how valuable your time is, as we're going to be talking about a little bit in this episode. So thank you very much for tuning in, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And today I am talking about priorities. And the inspiration or the idea for this blog post and podcast came about because when I work with clients who are using Asana, a lot of times people want to know, how can I assign a priority label to a task? You know, this is something you've probably seen in a lot of different task management tools, is you can flag or tag a task as being either high, medium, or low priority. And personally, I find these priority tags to be a bit pointless. I've never really liked using them, and I think there's a better way. So that's what I'm going to be talking about in this episode. If you want to get access to the corresponding blog post where you can leave me a comment or ask me a question, you can find that at paulminers.com/210. And so let's just talk about, first of all, the problem with using these priority tags or labels. And I think the problem is that when you simply say that a task is high, medium, or low priority, it's too vague. What does high priority actually mean? You know, how urgent or important does a task need to be in order for it to be high priority instead of medium? Or how unimportant do tasks need to be low priority? And should we even spend time on low priority tasks? And how do you even get the low priority stuff done if you've always got medium and high priority stuff above that? Now, if you can define what constitutes a high priority task and what that means for you, for your work or in your business, then I think that's a good start. But the truth is, I think most people don't do this. They don't think about, well, what does high priority mean for me? I think most people use their judgment to decide what's high versus low priority, and it's very subjective. And we often label, like if you have a new idea, we say, oh, this is high priority because it's new, it's exciting, and we're motivated to get to work on that thing because it's exciting. So we say, this is high priority, when really it might not actually be the best thing for you to work on at the time. And if you work in a team, assigning priority gets even harder because what's high priority for you may be low priority for somebody else, and people don't usually think about what's best for the team or the group as a whole. Now, a previous client of mine actually did manage priority really well, and she put really clear definitions of what constitutes a high priority task. And she told her team, basically, she runs a health and beauty business, and she said, if we receive a customer support ticket that impacts the business's cash flow, or if it's related to a customer booking, that is considered high priority. Everything else, emails coming in or anything else you can think of, is medium or lower. And I think this is a really good example of how priority, if done well, if it's clearly defined and communicated to the team, can be effective. But despite that, you know, even with these labels, another issue that's created when you use these high, medium, low priority, this system, is that you only ever work on high or medium priority stuff. The low priority stuff never gets done. Obviously, you cared enough to put it on your task list in the first place, but because it's now labeled as low priority, then the other stuff, it sort of never gets accomplished unless you change its priority later. So those are some of my thoughts on the problem with these priority labels. So how else then should you prioritize your work? Because as you can see, I'm not a huge fan, and I just think there is a better way. So when I identify a new task that needs to be completed, rather than assigning some kind of label, I assign a due date. In fact, every single task in my Asana account, my Asana is my task management tool, so every task in my Asana account basically has a due date on it. And not all of these are what I would call a strict deadline. In other words, you know, something that has to be done before a specific date. A lot of these tasks are things that have flexible deadlines. In other words, tasks that I'd like to do before a certain date, but if I don't, if I change my mind or if I don't have time, I can bump that task and do it later. That's fine. So I consider that a flexible due date. Now, by assigning a due date to a task, you are still prioritizing the work, but instead of using a subjective high, medium, or low label, you're using the dates to create a sense of urgency. And so high priority work can be assigned for today or this week, whereas medium and low priority tasks can be budgeted for later. And this gets really powerful if you block out time on your calendar, time blocking, which is something I've talked about many times, and I've linked in my show notes to an article and a video all about time blocking. And if you do time blocking on your calendar, you can then budget how long you need to work on specific tasks and exactly when you're going to do them. So why is using a due date better? Well, firstly, I think you're much more likely to get through all of your tasks because rather than ignoring low priority tasks, you simply assign a due date for a week or two from now, and the tasks, you know, that are considered low priority will reappear on your task list at the appropriate time when they fall due. And then you can either do the task if needed, or you can postpone it for later if it's not urgent. But because the task keeps reappearing, you're reminded again and again to do the work until you finally get it done, or until you decide, no, I've bumped this enough, I'm just going to delete it, I'm not going to do this task anymore. But the point is, you get reminded about that work. Another benefit is that you actually create a plan around doing your work. So when you put a due date on your tasks, you naturally put them and sort them into an order of when they're going to be completed. So rather than looking at a list of tasks that are high, medium, and low and trying to pick what to do, you have now a really clear plan. And finally, and I think this is a really key one, you're forced to make trade-offs between tasks. So another issue with high, medium, and low priority systems is there's no limit on how many tasks you can make high priority. And so if you say everything is high or medium, which is generally what we do, we don't do much on the low priority side. So if you say everything is high or medium priority, then by definition, nothing really is. And so whereas if you then put due dates on a task to assign priority, there's now a limit to how much you can do in a given day. So you are forced to make trade-offs. If you want to squeeze something else into today, you have to bump another task to tomorrow or later, potentially. So how do you decide what the due date of a task should be? Well, I think there's a couple of questions you can ask yourself to determine what an appropriate date would be. The first is kind of an obvious one. Is this time sensitive? If the task has to be completed before a certain date, you can set the date accordingly and ideally leave yourself some buffer time. So, for example, if I need to complete some work for a client, I will often set the task to be done, you know, a day or two before that, my next appointment with them. Something else you can ask yourself is, you know, if it's not time sensitive, when would you like to complete the task by? You know, what's your ideal preference? And this is the case with a lot of my tasks that don't have strict deadlines. And so for this work, I think about, well, when would I like to have it done by? You know, it's kind of like a personal preference. What I'd like to do this one first, so I'll budget that for this week. This one's less important, so I'll budget that for next week. You can also think about what order do I need to complete tasks in? So if you're scheduling tasks for a project, often there is a natural order in which things need to happen. So it helps to think about, well, you know, this task needs to happen first so that I can then start that one. And this is where you're really establishing the dependencies between your tasks. And finally, another question you can ask is, when would you like to be reminded about this task? So if you have tasks that kind of fall into that category of, you know, this is like a someday maybe task, you know, like an idea that you've had that you haven't really committed to yet, you just want to think about it someday, you could assign a due date to establish, you know, I'd like to be reminded about this in 3 weeks from now. And that could be what you put the due date as. The golden rule here is this, is don't create a task without assigning some kind of due date to it. And that's going to mean that every task is treated equally, and it's going to at some point appear at the top of your to-do list when it falls due. And this doesn't necessarily mean, again, that you're going to do the work, but it does mean the tasks get reevaluated regularly instead of just being forgotten about. And so finally, what if your priorities change? You know, because urgent work can come up, our priorities can just naturally shift over time. So let's say that you had a plan to do, you know, A, B, C task today, but an urgent issue has come up, which you need to deal with. So the solution really is you can then update the due date on the A, B, C task and bump it to tomorrow or later in the week when there's time available. And again, if you do this using my time blocking method, this makes it really easy because you can just move an appointment on your calendar and say, right, I'm going to bump this one to tomorrow. I'm going to make space for today and I'll come back to this later in the week. And I do this all the time. This is why I keep my calendar open during the day. As I said, because everything has a due date, sometimes I do look at my to-do list as well, and I see lower priority tasks that are now due today. But maybe I have other important work to get done, that's fine. I can simply reschedule these tasks for later. They're going to resurface again in a few days or a week from now. And if I've bumped the task a few times and no longer feel like it's important or worth doing, I can then just delete the task. And this means my to-do list naturally gets pruned over time. You know, it's like trimming weeds or trimming the loose parts of the tree. Like, you can prune your task list and cut away the dead weight. So instead of your task list getting bloated with loads of low priority stuff collecting up over time, you can trim away the stuff that you've now identified. You know what? I've postponed this. I've bumped this a few times. I'm probably never going to do it. Let's just delete it. And so writing the blog post for this episode and talking through this episode, I'm well aware that there are lots of tools that have this high, medium, low priority system built into them. And it's almost like an expected feature now within a task management system, is that there needs to be a way to prioritize your tasks. And like I said, I think this system can work if you define your priorities well, but most people don't. So in my experience, using due dates to define priority is a very effective way to work and is less subjective. And so I highly recommend you give it a go. And if you have any questions, thoughts, feedback, please head on over to the show notes, paulmeiners.com/210. Let me know what you think. I always enjoy hearing your feedback. One more time, thank you very much for listening to this episode, and I'll catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Paul Miners Podcast. Two quick things before I sign off. Firstly, if you enjoyed this episode or if you have any feedback for me, I would love it if you could leave me a review on iTunes. It really helps me to improve the show, and it helps the show to get discovered by more people so I can help more people out there. The second thing is, if you want to connect with me in person, you can become a VIP member of my website. Head to paulmeiners.com/VIP, where you will be able to join my private Slack community and attend bi-weekly group mastermind calls. This has to be one of my favorite times of the week when it comes up, is attending these group calls. The community is full of like-minded, productive, self-employed people, full-time workers. We have a real good mix of people in there. And I have to say, I have made fantastic friends with the people in this group. So if you want to join the community and connect with me and the other awesome members, sign up at paulmeiners.com/VIP. One more time, thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast.